This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Skincare Health and Beauty channels. Make sure you connect with us on our various social media channels, such as Facebook, Google+, and Twitter, to follow our programming accordingly. We are also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Today we are speaking with, once again, Kathy Heschelow, who has been our guest before. She is the founder of Sublime Beauty for Skin Health, Sublime Naturals with wellness products and essential oils, and ZenBox, a monthly subscription box of essential oils. She lived in Paris, France for 16 years and was inspired to bring many of the ideas and products to us from that experience. She's also the author of the new 322-page book, Essential Oils Have Superpowers, from solving everyday wellness problems to taking on superbugs. And that is what we're here to speak with her about today. Ms. Heschelow, welcome back to eHealth Radio.
Thank you so much, Eric. I'm so happy to be here.
Always good to have you. So tell us about your new book that speaks about essential oils that has just appeared. Tell us about this, and why did you write it?
Okay, thank you. Well, I have always loved the power of essential oils. They're really quite common and accepted in everyday use in France and in Europe, where I lived for all of those years. Doctors might recommend them as well. So many people in the U.S. are becoming more curious about not only essential oils, but just natural, time-tested approaches to wellness. So I thought the time was right for the book. Essential oils and aromatic plants actually go back centuries and centuries with effective uses and documentation. Ancient Egyptians and those before them in Sumeria and Babylon, they used them frequently, such as frankincense, myrrh, clove, cedarwood, just to name a few. The ancient Greeks and Romans used them for wellness and for mood. And in fact, in every era of history around the world, you find uses. And in fact, a combination of essential oils kept some people alive during that devastating plague in Europe in medieval times, and that includes some thieves, and I'll talk about that later. But in the book, I actually have an entire chapter about the fascinating history of essential oils to really set the mood and to really give some background. So for the modern era, aromatherapy really began in the south of France in the early 1900s. And it's interesting that scientists and doctors became very involved early on in the research and the uses there.
And that is very interesting information. Why don't you tell us exactly what essential oils are, if you would, and why do they have superpowers?
Well, let me tell you, I'll explain what it is, and let's get down to the basics. Essential oils are concentrated plant extracts. They're a kind of life force in plants, very complex. They hold secondary metabolite powers that help protect the plant. So just think, plants are rooted, right? They can't run away from predators or from the weather, and they have to develop ways to protect themselves or to attract or to repel, and ways to survive. Plant DNA is very close to our own human DNA, and so the powers of these essential oils are actually shared with us when we use them. Essential oils are extracted from the plants, typically steam distilled, and depending on the plant, it would be from from different parts of the plant. It could be from the flower or the leaves, the stems, the seeds, the roots. It really just depends on the plant. And for citrus plants, they're cold pressed from the rind. So something to know is that almost all essential oils have very good, very strong antibacterial, antiviral, and even antifungal powers. They can help protect you against microbes and illnesses and wipe out things that might try to invade and just keep you well. And that includes those superbugs, the MRSA. A nice side benefit is that most of them just smell amazing. So depending on the essential oil and which compounds are in them, they'll hold different powers, varied powers. Some are great for sedation or relaxation, like lavender or clary sage. Some are great for energy, like peppermint. Some for memory, like rosemary. Some excel at healing burns and bites, like lavender and others. Something like tea tree excels at killing fungus. Others might help gum disease or toothaches, like clove. So essential oils can affect your mood and the mind-body connection. They can bring down stress or they can uplift you. One of my most popular blends is for the immune system, to strengthen that immune system. So this, what I put in the title of the book about superpowers, I explained the reasoning throughout the book, but I did prepare just a short little statement for the listeners. Essential oils have the power to help you heal, the power to kill microbes, the power of protection, the power of joy. They help reduce the stress. They can bring vitality. They support your immune system, reduce headaches or infections, stomach aches, cramps. They can help you sleep better. Eric, I could go on and on, but I hope that gives an idea right there.
Quite amazing, and it certainly does. Thanks. Now, I haven't heard too many doctors recommending essential oils. Why do you think that is?
Yeah, well, it's actually in the United States, traditional doctors do not study or they're not taught about essential oils in medical school. And if they're not taught and it isn't something that's part of their research and training, they're not inclined to use them in their practice, unlike in many other countries where they are taught in medical school about the powers, the natural powers of them. There's also the question of big pharma. They're not interested in essential oils because they cannot trademark or patent them. And, you know, that's this whole other subject. But today, I am noticing that more holistic and integrated practice doctors in the United States are starting to suggest them, and cancer centers and hospitals are using aromatherapy more and more, especially for nausea or for stress control. I am absolutely sure that this is going to grow in the United States over time.
How would you use these, and what do you do with them? Get into that, if you would, on the basics there.
Good question. That's the down to the basics. So essential oils, you either inhale them or you put them on your skin, you know, topical application, typically diluted. So when you inhale them, it could be from the bottles that they come in. You could use them in a diffuser. You could put drops in a bath or in a steam bowl. And so when you diffuse them, it helps cleanse the air. You breathe them in, and it does certain things in your body. In your body, I write all about that in detail in the book. It can also create a certain mood. So it could have a relaxing mood for sleep or focus or tranquility. There is a third way to use them, and that is ingestion, but we'll talk about that a little bit later.
And that sounds good. Do you have a preference or do you have a favorite essential oil?
Well, I do have several favorites, and it does change from time to time and season to season. But I can tell you I always love frankincense. There's something about that scent and, you know, how it makes me feel that I just love, and I diffuse it often in my office. I love cedarwood. It's very grounding. It reminds me of the southwest of the U.S. Geranium is very nice. It's uplifting. When I'm congested or there's, you know, in Florida we have a lot of pollen, I'll use eucalyptus to really clear the sinuses. Keep lavender in the kitchen for if I'm cutting or, you know, cut myself when I'm cooking or I get a burn. I use peppermint in the bathroom. I dot it on my toothpaste. And, you know, there's just all kinds of practical uses for essential oils. And, you know, I love each one for those different uses. And actually, recently, I've got a swollen joint, my index finger. I've been writing so much and, you know, using the mouse all day and scanning at night. And I started using a turmeric essential oil on that joint, and it's really reduced the inflammation. You know, I also really love Lang Lang. It's got such an amazing scent. And powers too.
What about safety? Are essential oils safe to use? I would think they are, but touch on that aspect if you would.
Sure, that's a good question. In general, yes, they are natural and without great risk if they are inhaled. But there are caveats to everything, and there are some general safety tips I always post on all of my websites, and they're sent to my ZenBox subscribers. So because they're very concentrated, they could irritate the skin if you're using them topically and you haven't diluted them. Some you can use direct, like lavender or tea tree, but we always recommend that you do a patch test first. And in general, you do dilute them, you know, with a cream or oil when you use them. You don't want to get them near your eyes. You don't want to have them unattended with small children. They might be tempted to drink them. If you're on blood thinners or you have high blood pressure, for instance, there are certain oils, essential oils to avoid. But in general, they are quite practical. They're natural. They're very helpful and without great risk. What we could come back to the subject of ingesting them or swallowing them that I had mentioned earlier when you asked how you use them. I write about this in my book, and I know it's a little controversial. Some people like to ingest them or swallow or, you know, put them in some of their drinks. But my stance is, unless you are a certified aromatherapist or you're working one, you know, working with one, or if you're working with a, let's say, a trained holistic doctor, you've really investigated this, you want to avoid swallowing them in general. I know some people become newly exposed to essential oils, and they're very excited, and they might want to try that. But they're very, very concentrated, and if we already test them on the skin, I mean, it could burn your mucosa, your stomach lining, your esophagus. And, you know, when you swallow them or when you ingest them, they are going to be broken down by your stomach acids and eventually by your liver and kidney, so they might not be as effective. They could also be toxic or act like poison. Some essential oils actually could do that. Now, there are certain illnesses that could be treated by ingestion. In Europe, doctors might put some in capsules and treat for very specific things. So, you know, there are times when you could ingest, but in my opinion, especially for new people, you really want to be careful. And let's keep in mind that it's called aromatherapy for a reason. The highest bioavailability or the highest effectiveness of essential oils is when you inhale them. It's actually about 70% or more effectiveness. Topical use can be very, very good for, let's say you got a bug bite or you have an infection or a burn, or you have a headache and you want to use a compress or like a cold cloth on your head with some essential oils in it. That's a very good use topically. The bioavailability is lower. It's much lower when you're doing topical, but it does last longer, so it can make sense for those types of things. But, you know, when you ingest, just be really careful. In the end, everybody makes their own decision, but don't go about it lightly.
Today we are speaking with Kathy Heschlow, once again author of the new book, Essential Oils Have Superpowers, from solving everyday wellness problems to taking on superbugs, here on eHealth Radio, Skincare, Health, and Beauty Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Kathy, there is mention of superbugs in your title. How do essential oils play into the issue of antibiotic-resistant superbugs or MRSA?
Right. Well, I actually devote an entire chapter just to this MRSA or MRSA or antibiotic resistant subject. Many of your listeners might not know that the CDC has declared superbugs to be the number one public health concern as bacteria becomes more and more resistant to antibiotics, and healing even the most basic diseases is becoming more and more difficult. Bacteria that learn resistance and mutate and learn resistance around these antibiotics, they're actually teaching other bacteria how to resist as well. I mean, it's crazy. In 2013, it caused at least 23,000 deaths and $20 billion in healthcare costs. So MRSA, or it's methicillin-resistant Staphylococcus aureus, that's a mouthful, that's why we usually say MRSA. It really is a staph infection, and staph is on all of our skins. It's in the soft tissue of our nose and elsewhere, and it's a very common form of skin infection. In fact, it's more common than pneumonia or surgical complications or blood infections. So far, the majority of these infections have happened in hospital settings, but now they're starting to occur more outside of hospitals. And unfortunately, even stronger bacteria are emerging. There are two that are called CRE and VRE that are showing up, and they're pretty scary. Here's a summary on the situation, and this comes from a Columbia University professor of medicine. He said, in 1941, it only took 40,000 units of penicillin per day for 4 days to cure pneumococcal pneumonia. Today, it would take 24 million units per day, and the patient would probably still die. So that's 40,000 units versus 24 million units, and it's probably not going to be effective. I mean, this is really serious. So turning over to the subject of essential oils, they actually have been killing and wiping out serious bacteria for centuries. So I mentioned those thieves and the plague. So there's the documented history during the plague. There was the four thieves of Marseille. What they would do is douse themselves in essential oils and then go out and rob the plague victims or the ones who had died, and they never became sick. And that was, in fact, due to the powers of the essential oils. Another very ancient story, there's the oldest surviving British manuscript of medicine from 900 AD. Scientists copied a recipe from that manuscript, and they tested it, and it actually wiped out MRSA, and that contained essential oils. There are just so many examples of this, and I really go into this in the book for people who are interested, but I think it's an important subject.
Without a question, are there current medical studies or tests about this?
Oh, yes, yes. There are hundreds of medical and clinical tests, and I list many in the book, and I highlight them. And I have a whole chapter called The Wow Factor. It's about the research that's, modern research that's going on. So I'll just tick off a few for the listeners. Cornell University found that lavender could eradicate certain antibiotic-resistant bacteria. Another clinical study found that a combination of lavender, rose geranium, and tea tree not only inhibited, but it shut down MRSA. In Australia, at a women's hospital, they tested tea tree, lemongrass, and eucalyptus, and it killed the most deadly bugs, including those two new ones I mentioned, the CRE and the VRE strains. There was a great Greek study recently that was presented, and they tested and showed that thyme and cinnamon essential oils killed almost all drug-resistant bacteria. Two more. There was a notable French researcher who said he couldn't find a single bacteria that could live in the presence of oregano or cinnamon essential oil. And then my favorite study is from France. It was from a professor and director of toxicology. He actually grew 210 colonies of microbes, of bacteria, staph, mold, and fungi in petri dishes. So then he put them in a room, and he diffused the air with a blend of essential oils. And that blend was thyme, peppermint, lavender, rosemary, and clove. After 15 minutes, all of the 210 except 14 of the colonies were dead. Within 30 minutes, every single colony was destroyed and dead. I think that really demonstrates the power of essential oils.
And that is certainly amazing. Now, why do essential oils work when antibiotics do not?
Ah, that's a good question. Antibiotics go after a single identifiable target. So what happens is the bacteria can figure it out. They change or they mutate. They eventually survive. And then they just replicate freely. And then they teach other bacteria how to do it too. But essential oils are very different. They're very, very complex. There's hundreds to thousands of compounds in each essential oil. They impair the bacteria in a lot of, in multiple non-selective ways. So the bacteria cannot mutate and replicate or, learn how to get around all of these complex compounds. So, in other words, antibiotics are very narrow in focus. Essential oils are very complex and wide in focus. And I'll mention one other thing. Many antibiotics not only try to kill the bad bacteria, but they also kill the good bacteria, and they can create side effects, nausea or just all kinds of really serious things that can hurt us or even lead to other conditions like IBS or leaky gut or rheumatoid arthritis, and, you know, the list goes on. But essential oils don't do that. So that's just another natural strength of essential oils.
Are there any live cases of killing bacteria in people with a MRSA infection?
Yeah, actually there are, and I put two in the book. There's one in Australia. A 49-year-old man had been run over by a golf cart when he was playing golf and fractured his leg, and then MRSA developed really deep in the bones and tissues, and they just couldn't get rid of it. And they were talking about amputation of his leg, but they called Dr. Sherry in, and he started an aggressive essential oil treatment that used eucalyptus and tea tree essential oils. Within 3 months, the cultures were entirely clean, entirely clear. The wound healed, and happily, the man kept his leg. In the other case, a woman was in her 40s. She got MRSA in a foot wound. And the antibiotics didn't work, and the doctors wanted to amputate. But she had independently found out about essential oils as an alternative and suggested it. So she got injections of cinnamon bark essential oil and some topical treatments of essential oils. And within 3 weeks, she was entirely clear, and she saved her foot and no more infection.
Truly is incredible, and it really has been good to hear all about this. Certainly gives hope where hope has not been. Now, this seems to be a lot of talk about, you know, I know we're running out of time here and a lot to talk about, but people can read about all this in your book. What are some of the other things that you cover? Is this book for beginners or people who know something already about essential oils?
Right. Well, I actually wrote the book for both audiences. It has a lot of really good introductory and background information for those who are entirely new to the subject, but I go deeper into areas that I haven't seen in many books, you know, such as the medical research and superbug question. I talk about our livestock and our food chain, and I also go into the mind-body-spirit connection, and there's some new sciences that have emerged there that they're very interesting. I look at different views and approaches to essential oils all around the world, and I also go into practical information, how to care for your essential oils if you're going to start using them, some recipes and applications for daily problems to solve your wellness problems.
Well, the big question is, where can listeners get the book, and where can listeners get more information on ZenBox, your monthly subscription box of essential oils?
Great, thank you. Well, I actually have my book on Amazon, where most books are these days. So you can get it in the hard copy version or in the Kindle format. And I also sell the hard copy is actually a softback, but I sell that on my store at sublimenaturals.com. And also on that website, listeners can contact me with any questions. There's a contact button, and my contact information is there as well. And then for ZenBox, I have an informational site with all the FAQs, and that's at zenbox-essentialoils.com.
Kathy, always good to have you. Thanks again for being with us today, and already looking forward to our next conversation right here on eHealth Radio. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you, Eric. Bye-bye. Take care.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Kathy Heschlow, founder of Sublime Beauty for skin health, Sublime Naturals with wellness products and essential oils, and ZenBox, a monthly subscription box of essential oils. She is also the author of the new 322-page book, Essential Oils, How Superpowers from Solving Everyday Wellness Problems to Taking on Superbugs. And for more information, simply visit KathyHeschlow.com. and SublimeNaturals.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Skincare Health and Beauty Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening, and until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.